This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy in the car, just like you? Right now, times are really tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to make your drive around Melbourne fun. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macker and Tess. So who have we got next, Tess?
Macker, we're going to speak with a research fellow from the School of Social and Political Sciences at the University of Melbourne. A chap called Dr. Brendan Churchill. A research fellow then.
Chap's all right.
Brendan Churchill, who... during the week, actually published an article, or had an article published in The Conversation, which is an online news journal, specifically about the value of recording gender and sexuality in census. I think we've got Brendan on the airwaves. Is that right? Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning. Good
Brendan,
morning.
I'm sorry I called you a chap.
Oh, no, please, I prefer that to research fellow.
He's a research chap.
Okay, well, let's combine it.
Thank you, that's a great promotion.
Brendan, in your article, you argued that it is important that census collects data about our gender and sexual diversity. Can you tell us why that is important?
In the article, I kind of said there were three kind of main reasons why we needed to collect this data. And the first is probably the most important, and that's representation. If you are counted, you count. And for some people who are listening, they might go, hang on, I count, and I'm not currently counted in the census. Yes, it's true. You do count. But in terms of policy, programs, decisions taken at government, if we can say that there are X number of people who identify as this, or there are X number of people who identify as that, then there's something we can do about it. We can have better policies, better programs that can inform, that are informed by this data. And also, I think it's a good thing if LGBTIQ people are counted in the census. It's representation. The other reasons are, you know, that we're already kind of collecting this data in some way or another. Other surveys out there currently collect this data, not as well as they could. Other countries are also collecting this data, so Australia kind of lags behind. And we also need to kind of make sure that we keep up with these countries.
Brendan, that's a shift because... when I was young, you just didn't talk about your identity. And now what you're saying is not only do we want to talk about it, but we actually want it to be known, and we want it to be known by authorities, and we want it to be counted and discussed and considered. So that is quite a shift in the mindset. Can you comment on that?
Sure. I mean, I think it's in tandem with the way in which we think about sexuality and gender in 2019. It's unconceivable that, you know, 10 years, 5 years, perhaps even 2 years ago, that we'd be even having this discussion about including LGBTIQ people in the census. I think that just goes to show what a shift has occurred and how Australia is finally catching up in terms of dealing with these issues. We've made some progress with the same-sex marriage debate and the legislation of same-sex marriage. This is just yet another step in the acceptance of sexually and gender diverse people.
They sound like great reasons, Brendan. How do you respond to the question of privacy and security of information so that...
I think,
you don't have some nasty governments at some future point saying, aha, there's Macca, he's gay, we're going to get him.
They already do that. They already know how to do that. And sorry, Brent, this was an issue that was raised in the last census, another census, about the security of the data. In a way, you have to take... Well, you have to take it on trust, don't you, in what the ABS says. But it is a genuine concern people have, isn't it?
It is a genuine concern, and I can understand for the queer community at large, privacy around some of these issues, you know, given the long-standing experiences of our community with authorities, I can understand that the community is distrusting or might be sceptical about the data collection and holding this data. But there are a couple of things. The census can already tell whether if you are in a same-sex relationship, if you're living in the same household. They can actually derive that. So if you are in a same-sex relationship and you live in the same household, the census can already tell that information. We already have the information about you. So including questions about sexual and gender diversity just kind of gives us a bit more information about the other types of LGBTIQ people that are out there. And more generally, this information has been collected in other ways. Facebook knows whether you're gay or not. Google knows. This data has kind of been collected without us even knowing. Mm. So I take the point about privacy, but some of this stuff is out there being collected. We're just not aware of it.
Oh, yeah. So there is that old view that the day you switched on the internet, you gave your privacy away.
Totally.
But Brendan, so why has this come up? Is Census resisting collecting this information? Or because I'm sensing that there is a campaign that's bubbling away out there in the community around data collection.
There was a consultation period that the ABS conducted a while back to kind of solicit questions for the 2021 census. It's a regular kind of thing that they do after each census. They look to the community to research this and kind of ask what kinds of questions can we include. The problem with the census is that it's a very short form. So there isn't a great deal of space to put questions in. And the idea is that the least amount of questions will ensure a higher participation rate or a completion rate, and that's what we want because we want our data to be valid and reliable and representative. So I think there is a bit of a push from the community to have this data included, but I think there is a bit of an issue with space and there is perhaps some resistance because it will be a couple of questions to be added.
Because I think, look, you know, the ABS... you know, they've got a huge job to do. One of the things that always, you know, that I found a bit puzzling is where there is an ABS statistic on the number of same-sex couples, and look, I don't recall the figure, but it seemed to me to be incredibly low. What that said to me was, one, people didn't want to answer the question for some reason, or answered it incorrectly or couldn't be bothered with it. What's your take on that?
I can't remember the figure off the top of my head, and it's a small, it is a small number. I think it's probably going to be under 10%. And that data is only kind of derived from people, from couples that live in the same household. So, again, it doesn't really reflect the true extent of LGBTIQ relationships. I'm not quite sure about a reluctance to give any details because this is kind of it's worked out in a different way. But I can understand if LGBTIQ people don't want to give away this information, as I said earlier, given all the concerns around privacy and stigma as well.
And look, I want to go back to last year's or the last lot of census data. What did come out of that? You know, what did we learn about our communities as a whole?
From memory, we saw that there was actually an increase in the number of couples who were in a same-sex relationship living in the household. I actually think it might have went from 11% in the 2012 census to about 15% in the 2016 census. the figures are a bit rough because I have a very bad memory. we also kind of learned that the number of same-sex couples with children was also increasing. So there was more same-sex couples with children. That was especially true amongst female same-sex couples. Female same-sex couples tend to have more children than male same-sex couples. That's all I can really kind of remember off the top of my head. But again, this kind of information, it's a slow process, and it only kind of gets one facet of the community. If we have questions about gender and sexual diversity, intersex status, we can get a better picture.
We do.
So is that better reporting, or is that a genuine increase in numbers?
I think that's a genuine increase in numbers. Because it's worked out in a different way. It's not done to explicit questions.
Okay. That's great. Brendan, thank you very much. If anybody wants to participate in this campaign that's currently on to try to convince Census to, collect this data, what can they do?
I think Equality Australia is running a survey, and I can get those details online. And the other thing I would suggest that people do is to contact their local MP or senator, register their complaint with them, and also write into the ABS.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks so much, Brendan. It's a great read. People should Google that. It's on the Conversation website. Really, really important.
And that was Dr. Brendan Churchill, who is a research fellow, not a research chap. Research fellow from the School of Social and Political Sciences at the University of Melbourne.
There you go. Thanks.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.